everybody, and welcome to the fourth podcast of FBC Savannah. Today with me, back all the way from South Korea, Lauren Caldwell.
Hello.
And Kyle Ballantyne.
Hi.
John, as a matter of fact, as we record, he is getting dinner for Wednesday night dinner tonight.
That's true.
That's right. He has gone off to the Olive Garden to get dinner for us tonight.
Been slaving over it all day.
That's right. So he is not with us today. One of these days, we'll get all four of us together for this, right?
That would be nice.
Right. We don't even know what that dynamic looks like yet because it has not happened. You know, we've got quite a bit to talk about today. Lauren is going to chat with us about her trip to South Korea, which she was there for how many days? 10 days?
12 days, technically.
12 days, wow.
If you count travel.
Wow. Which was probably about four of those days, huh?
Well, yeah. With the time difference, yes.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And some other things that are coming up. One thing that's coming up really, really soon, as in like in 2 days, is the FBC Women's Retreat. We'll talk about a little bit more. I want to get through some of the things that we're not going to talk about as much yet, probably because we have mentioned them many other times on the podcast. Remember the Savannah Book Festival is coming to Savannah February 12th through 14th. Our church is hosting a few of the speakers with that. Also, since we're recording on a Wednesday night, tonight we get to hear from Chris Hendricks about Why Do I Need These People? One of the Theology 101s. And I mention that because next week we get to hear another story of grace and faith. And that is going to be presented to us by Miss Tina Bailey.
Yes, we're fortunate to have her home from Bali. She's been here for a few months, and so she's going to be here and share with us. Jonathan's gone back to Germany for a little while, but she'll be here.
I feel like the stories of grace and faith are pretty fantastic.
Yeah, I think people enjoy hearing other people's stories,
right,
and where they came from and why they're here.
All of the ones that I have heard have just been so enlightening and really lets you get to know those people tons more.
Well, and figure out what you have in common,
yeah,
that you may not have known,
yeah,
before.
Yeah. And so we can look forward to hearing Tina next Wednesday. Also, the trip to Cuba coming up really quick. They leave on next week.
Tuesday.
Yes.
Yep.
On the 2nd. And so they will be gone until the 10th. We will be praying for them and missing them as they go and hope they have a wonderful trip. Also, this Sunday, the children, they've got something special, right, Lauren?
That's right. We're going bowling, which all of them loved last time, so, and beat my score by a lot. So.
Well, did they put the bumpers up?
Well, yes, but still they got a better score than I did.
Did you put the bumpers up?
No, I did play without bumpers. But.
Well, this time you should try with the bumpers.
Hopefully that would improve my playing.
So they get to have lunch together as well?
Yes, we'll eat together before we go, and then go bowling.
I went to this last time, so Kyle, you should join us, right?
It sounds like fun. It's
right?
True. Yeah.
You should. And that's going to be at AMF Lanes on Tibet Avenue, and a wonderful time for the kids. They love it. They love just jumping around and having a good old time.
Yes, dancing in the bowling lane is
right,
also appropriate and fun.
What's wonderful about that, I remember from last time, is that on Sunday afternoon, that is not exactly the busy bowling time.
Oh. No.
And so it's you almost feel like you have the whole bowling alley to yourself,
mm-hmm,
in some ways. Now, the kids might be going bowling, but Kyle, we've got something else coming up. I mean, the kids are bowling.
Right.
The women have their retreat, and they've had lots of fun time doing some other monthly activities.
That's right.
Like, they've gone painting.
Mm-hmm. They've gone to see a show.
That's right.
The Savannah
Theater. They've gone to see a show at the theater. They've done some really fun things.
Yeah.
And so we decided that we needed some man time.
That's right.
That's
something
right
for the guys.
That's right. So the dudes of FBC are going to have their first gathering, and we are going to go bowling.
Yes.
You know, a lot like the kids are, because let's face it, most of us are kind of sometimes immature anyway.
Let's say kids at heart.
That's right, kids at heart. I have friends that say inside every man is a 12-year-old boy. And sometimes that's completely true. But we're going to have some fun. We're going to go to the same place that the kids are going,
mm-hmm,
to the AMF Lanes. We're going to do that on Tuesday, February 16th. And we're pr- probably going to have a really, really good time.
I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think that there are some people who are unknown good bowlers that we do not know about, and I think that's going to come out. We're going to see that. Like, I fully expect, like, Dale Wilhite to be an amazing bowler.
Oh, yeah.
You know? But if you are, if you want to be a part of that, like we said, that's going to be February the 16th. Mm-hmm. Going to meet up at the Lanes at 6:30. We're going to get food while we're there because they actually provide a pretty good spread of like pizza and drinks for us.
Perfect.
And so it's going to be a good time. So
good.
If you are a dude of FBC, or even if you're not a dude of FBC and just want to come and bowl with us, feel free to. Now, Lauren, coming up Friday. Upon us is the women's retreat. You want to say something about that?
Yeah, we're really excited about that. We haven't done it in 2 years. We did it every year for about three and then took a break, and now we've come back by popular demand. We started this semester doing several women's events that we've talked about before, and we decided to bring the women's retreat back in January. And Terry Canzoneri,
right,
who is the member care and wellness manager for the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, is going to lead that for us. She's also a pastoral counselor,
mm-hmm.
And I think you all have talked some about this, but she's going to talk about emotions, and for all of those who are worried, it's not going to be touchy-feely. We're not going to hold hands and uncomfortably sing strange songs.
I'm glad you brought it up because really we haven't talked about the theme except to mention it.
Yeah.
And
okay.
So what you just said is more than we've mentioned.
Okay.
Since we didn't really know the in-depthness of that, we've just said this is what the theme is titled. So mm-hmm. you could say much more about
that. Okay. Well, she's using her expertise as a pastoral counselor to talk through. She's picked four major emotions: anger, fear, joy, and sadness.
I feel like I've seen this before.
Yes, it's a popular film, nominated for a couple of awards
this
year.
That's right, that's true. By the way, if you haven't seen Inside Out, holy cow, go rent it.
It is fantastic. Yes, and we might even watch it we're there.
Yeah.
But she's going to talk about where emotions come from, what we can do, how we can better understand our own and how we can better understand other people's emotions and where they come from. So it's more of an informative, what do I do with these things, more than a let's all feel together.
Right.
So, which I've assured several of our members that that's not what we're going to do, and it's not. So don't be afraid.
Well, there is a lot of people signed up for this, so it looks
there are.
Like
we
it's
have,
going to be a fantastic weekend.
Yeah, I think we have 32 right now. So
that's really good.
Where are y'all doing this, Lauren?
Wesley Gardens. Which is out sort of near the Landings.
Yeah.
Okay.
Out about 20 minutes outside of Savannah.
Have you
but
ever
you
been?
Feel,
no, I've never been.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It is beautiful, and you really feel like you're out retreating.
Yeah, you do.
Even though you're not that far away.
Yeah.
So,
good.
And most of the people are spending the night. There are 26 beds there, and I think 24 of them are full. So,
wow.
We'll be a full house.
Yeah, you will. I hear there's going to be some good food as well.
Absolutely. We have many people to thank for that. Jenny Halpin and Nikki Brewer, Betsy Rabin. Shannon Wilhite, several people to thank for that.
Yeah, I always hear that the Shannon Wilhite breakfast.
That's the meal to come to, yes.
At the women's retreat is like, you want to sneak in and get some
you
of
do.
That.
I mean, you're
anything
talking
Shannon cooks.
Organic
is
grits, organic oatmeal, like it's fantastic. All, not to demean anyone else's food, because
right,
I'm looking
right
forward to everybody's food, but that's good.
1 year, Kyle, Nikki came home from one of these, and she said, Shannon made these grits, and I have to find these grits, and I have to eat these grits.
Stone ground organic
that's right
grits.
Wow.
So we had to go on a search for these grits, all because
and
of Shannon Wilhite.
And did she get them?
Oh, yes.
Oh, good.
Oh, yes. We've had them many times at our house, and I have to give Shannon Wilhite hugs just because of those grits.
But they really only taste best when Shannon makes them.
I'm sure. I believe.
Yeah. They are pretty fantastic. Outside of even the lessons and things that you all will be talking about, just good fellowship to be around.
Absolutely.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know a lot of folks will come away from those just loving the fact that they got to know some of the people in their church even more.
Yeah, and we have a lot of our newer members coming, some prospective members, even some of our college students.
Yeah.
So we have a really good mix of folks.
We actually have some of our college students coming in from college for this.
Yes, so. We do, actually, driving all the way from Athens. So.
You know, also, speaking of Terry, who is leading this retreat, she will be with us on Sunday. She'll be preaching on Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And so, do we know what she's speaking on yet, Lauren? Or?
She's focusing on the Matthew 6 passage, talking about peacemakers. Mm-hmm. And so she's going to talk about relationships and peace and how we can relate to one another in more healthy ways.
Mm-hmm.
So, sort of taking from the retreat a little bit, but broadening that concept.
Right. Is she doing the children's sermon, or is that
no,
you?
No, still me.
Still you.
Yeah, you did that while I was away.
I did. My first one. Yeah, my very first one.
It's not as easy as it looks.
No, it's not. It's really intimidating.
Yeah, it's hard. That's maybe one of the hardest things I do all week.
I caught myself having trouble focusing on the children, because my instinct is to look up and look at the crowd, but to concentrate on the kids was that was a new challenge to have to do to them. But it was fun. It was fun.
Yeah.
Kyle, you've done one once.
Yeah. I have done one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're at about the same experience level.
Right. Yeah.
All right. I think Lauren, what she's thinking is, yeah, we've got some more in the future for you.
I'm happy for you to do it.
That's right. So Terry's going to preach for us on Sunday. Kyle, what should we look for from the choir on Sunday?
The choir's doing a really neat arrangement. It's an a cappella piece, a shaker tune.
Oh, wow.
There's a guy where I was in grad school in Cleveland from the community where the church was who actually wrote this piece.
Hmm.
I probably wouldn't have come across it other than being up there, but they're going to sing. It's a simple arrangement as the Shakers.
Right.
We're very simple people.
So usually on the podcast, we preview what is going to be preached on the coming up Sunday, but since Terry is going to be our pastor for Sunday and be preaching on Sunday, and she isn't here for us to record with right now, although we do want to sit down with her and do a podcast about her ministry and what she does, and hope we get to do that, we thought that we would talk to Lauren about her trip to South Korea.
Yes.
Very big distinction.
Yes.
So about her trip to South Korea. So, Lauren, first off, just tell us about what this, what the camp was that you were doing. Tell us a little background about Passport and what, how they came to be in South Korea.
Well, Passport has been in the United States since 1993. They started as a youth camp and then expanded and created a children's camp for kids 3rd through 6th grade. And there
called Passport Kids.
Called Passport Kids, right. So you have Passport Youth and Passport Kids. And Kids still has a missions emphasis. They just don't do mission projects like the youth do. But they do what they call mission rotations. And so they usually are learning about a different part of the world. This year, Passport focused on El Salvador. And so the mission offering went to missionaries who are helping refugees from El Salvador who come to the United States. So it focused on ministries in McAllen, Texas, in Touching Miami with Love, and then Lucha, which is in Fredericksburg, Virginia. But this church in South Korea, Jwanjung-ang Church, they wanted to come to the United States to do a Christian camp. And so a member of their congregation, who is actually from Tanzania, went searching on the internet and found Passport. And she said, "I like this one." And so Sister Choi, who is in charge of a lot of the children's activities at this church and is a deacon in her church, went searching and researched and decided that Passport was the one. And so they brought some teenagers and then some children, both to youth camp and kids camp this summer.
From South Korea.
South Korea, yes.
Right.
And
these were South Korean students.
Yes.
I mean, they weren't like nationals who were nationals who were brought over from that church. So South Korean students and children.
Yes, yeah. And in South Korea, most children begin learning English in school, and so most of them are bilingual anyway.
Right.
It's not unusual for them to speak English, and so all the ones that came here their English is not perfect, but it's certainly better than my Korean. so they came and they had a great time. And Sister Choi said, I really want to expose my church to something like this. And so she contacted Passport and said, hey, do you think you could come over here and do the same camp? And so through talks and discussions, Passport decided, yes, we can do that. And so they put together a team. And there were six of us, one administrator from the Passport office, and then five of us who went. One of us is a worship coordinator, Caleb Hopkins, who's a music minister in South Carolina. And then I went as a Bible study leader, and three other females went as Bible study leaders as well.
Were all of you experienced Passport staff?
Yes, yes. We've all worked in various capacities. I was the only one who's actually never worked Passport Kids. I always worked youth camp for no particular reason. I love youth camp, and I just never had the chance to work kids camp. All of them had worked kids camp before, so they were a little bit better versed in the kids' schedule and mission rotations and that kind of thing. But I caught on fairly quickly.
So was this one church, or was there a group of churches there in Incheon is where you were at, correct?
Correct, yeah. No, one church. They're a pretty big church. They have a mother church in Seoul.
Okay.
And then this is an offshoot of that church. So they actually have two locations and are building another one.
Wow.
They have a construction process underway. So we were in the smaller congregation, but we went to the larger one, which holds, I think, 3,000 or more people.
I was about to say, isn't Seoul the home of the largest church in the world or something?
That might be true. I'm not sure. But this is a Presbyterian church.
Okay.
And so they, but anyway, so we were at their smaller location, but they, all the children came from that one church. Sister Choi extended the age bracket of what would normally be Passport Kids just to get more kids to come.
Right.
So we had, and children there, people may not know, they count ages differently than we do.
Oh, wow.
When
really?
when you're born, they say you're beginning your first year.
Right.
So if you say a child over there is eight, to us that's seven.
Huh, okay.
So to them, we had 8 to 15-year-olds, which means to us we had 7 to 14-year-olds,
okay.
Which is a little bit larger than what Passport Kids normally is. But it,
right.
it worked out. It was fine. The older ones were able to help with the translation, help the younger ones, so and mentor them a little
so
bit.
So about how many kids did you all work with?
We ended up with about 60.
Okay.
We originally...
That's a lot for...
Yeah.
Six or seven people.
Yeah. Originally, she wanted 100, and then it had gotten down lower in the 20s when we thought we were going to have really low numbers, and then she got it back up to 60. So,
okay.
So it worked out really well.
And were the kids in school?
No, they, because it's so cold in Korea during December and January.
Cold as in Savannah cold, like 60?
Right. No, no, as in like 6.
Wow.
It was 7 degrees most mornings when I woke up.
Wow.
But because
I'm sure the wind chill was even better.
Oh, yes, definitely. But because it's so cold, they're off of school for 2 months during the winter.
Huh.
And so this is really their big vacation time, so they didn't have school.
I see. That's,
so they are like Savannah. If it freezes,
they're out. It's done.
If there's a snowflake in the air, we're done.
Yeah.
School's out.
Right. So they were out of school, and that worked out well for them.
Good.
So, Lauren, what was a typical day? Was it different than the usual Passport rhythm?
No, she wanted to do exactly what they do in the United States. She wanted it all in English. She didn't want us to change any of the Bible studies. She even wanted to keep the same mission emphasis. So it was truly a cross-cultural experience because we are American people teaching Korean children about El Salvadorian refugees coming to the United States with the help of Tanzanian translators.
Wow.
So it was truly a cross-cultural experience.
Huh.
But no, it was... We did change it a little bit because it turned into a day camp. Because it wasn't an overnight camp. And so we packed everything from 8:30 to 5 instead of extending that from 8:30 till 8 at night. So basically it just took out their free time.
Right.
And it meant we ran from activity to activity and we're getting ready for one while in the process of doing another. Wow. So, and with six of us, that was a challenge, but we did it.
I get the feeling that by the end of this, you were worn out.
To say the least, yes. Yes.
Now, in this experience, you got to stay in, with the host family. It wasn't right. Like, usually the camp experience for staffers is that they stay in almost like dorms or something.
Right.
But you got to stay in a host family. So what
yeah,
was that like?
We did. We all, in the beginning, we all split up and were in different houses. And actually, I say houses, they're apartments, really, because there are so many people in South Korea in a space that's smaller, a land area that's smaller than Florida.
Wow.
And so you have millions of people. They're all in high-rises. Mm. So they live in apartments, but they're nice apartments, not very different from what you would see here. It's two or three bedrooms, two baths, a living room, kitchen, office sometimes, or a little music room. But they were really, really fantastic. My family... fortunately, they spoke English really well. They've spent a lot of time in Canada and traveling in the U.S., and so it was great to get to have conversations with them. They had two little boys,
right.
And they all have English names. They have Korean names and English names, and so I had Daniel and Sean in my house, and they were 2 and 5.
Oh, so they weren't a part of...
Daniel came to camp. Daniel
oh, he did
come to camp.
The 5-year-old.
Okay.
Yeah, and Sean came with his mom to watch.
Oh.
But they were so adorable. And every time I came to the door, they would say, "Hello, good morning," because they were learning English phrases.
Oh.
And so
and we got
really
FaceTime
cute.
With them.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, Sean wanted to. I said, "Do you want to see my American friends?" And he said, "Yes." And so he got to see Katie and Story.
Yeah. I think Katie was excited about that.
Yeah. But it was a really nice experience. Jen was the name of the mother who was my host, and she would cook Korean food for breakfast, and I would get to eat a traditional Korean meal. Although one morning I said, you know, I would really love to have oatmeal because our host had provided oatmeal for them to serve us, but she felt bad doing that. I said, no, I would love oatmeal.
Right.
And so I ate that one or two mornings, which was nice.
As someone who has traveled to other countries, I love the cultural experience of the different types of food, but there are some times where you're just like,
yes.
I just want something that tastes kind of like home.
Yes, that is familiar.
Right.
Yeah.
Not to be offensive in any way, just every once in a while.
No. Well, and she kept telling me, oh, and I'm such a horrible cook. I said, well, I am too, so it's fine. I said, we can eat oatmeal.
Did you tell your muffin top story?
No, I didn't. No, I did not. But I moved to a different apartment midway through so that we could all be together when camp was happening so that we could talk and plan.
Uh-huh.
And that host mother, Kyung was her name, she cooked us a huge Korean breakfast every morning. So one morning I had chicken curry for breakfast.
Really?
One morning we had a bibimbap, which is a traditional Korean dish. It's rice and meat and vegetables and a raw egg mixed together, but the hot bowl cooks the egg for you when you mix it. So it's like a hot stone bowl.
Yeah. That sounds a little bit like biryani in India.
Yeah.
It's kind of a rice and meat and egg dish a little bit.
But that's the most, I ate more for breakfast than I normally eat for lunch and dinner combined here. So it was really good. And they were so very gracious. They are the most hospitable people I have ever been around. And I've traveled to a lot of places.
Yeah, I was about to ask, what was your favorite cultural aspect of South Korea?
Probably that the people are so very gracious.
I remember overhearing you tell someone that their hospitality puts Southern hospitality to shame.
It does. It does. I mean, anything you needed, anything you wanted, they wanted to make sure that you had it. Although Jen did ask me, she said, now, are you experiencing culture shock? And I said, well, not really. I said, it's not that different. I said, but things here are smaller. She said, what do you mean? I said, well, your glasses are smaller because they eat a lot of soup. and they consider that their liquid with meals, and so they give you maybe like an 8-ounce cup and water, and that's it for your whole meal.
Like,
and
no
remember,
refill?
Korean food is hot,
right?
And so I had to ration my water. So I said, "Well, your glasses are small and your towels are small," because the first night I went in the bathroom and I was going to take a shower. And she said, now the towel, she had told me the towels are in the cabinet in there. So I opened it up and I looked and I thought, well, these are towels, but they were like the size of our hand towels.
Oh, wow.
And so I thought, but I guess these are their towels. And they are. They just use.
That was the body towel.
That was the body towel.
Wow.
It was the hand towel.
Yeah.
So she laughed at that and she said, oh, well, I have some bigger ones, but the boys use them as blankets. So I was like, okay. So it was not a problem. It was it's just a different,
just something to get
something
used to.
Different. And, you know, it's less wasteful than washing a big old towel. Mm-hmm. So.
So, Lauren, last question. Any good story from the experience?
There are lots of good stories, as there usually are. And one of my favorite moments at youth camp is always the fourth night of worship, when the youth get to share. The Passport calls them declarations, because it's Passport and you make a declaration every day. But you always have closing week declarations that the youth can share. And I've never really experienced that at kids camp. But this year they did, they had a prayer time in worship. They usually have a question of the day that's a video, but they did a live question of the day during the last night of, or the last afternoon of worship this year. And it asked the question, how do you want to be a part of Jesus's revolution? Because that was our theme, was revolution. And we were talking about changing and how we have to stand up for others and speak for others, and how that can help change our world. And so that was the question that they were supposed to ask or answer during worship. And some of the kids who came up, it was just that moment. Those who have worked camp will get this, but that you realize, oh, they got it.
Right.
Or some of them got it, because some of the kids came up, and some in Korean and some in English, but they said things like, I will stand up for people who are different than me, or I will be a friend to the person who doesn't have any friends in my school. There was one student that talked about he has in his class at school a African Korean, which to them is very different and very odd, and a mixed race situation that they're not used to, and he gets made fun of a lot and is ostracized a lot. So this student talked to, or this camper said, I think I should be his friend, and I think I should speak up for him. So it was just nice to hear, oh, they get it.
Right.
And I hope that happened. And I do hope that turns into a partnership, maybe for Passport, for this church, maybe for other churches in the United States, so they can connect together, because it really was a good experience, I think, for everybody.
Well, if you want to hear more of Lauren's story, she's actually going to be sharing at the February third Sunday luncheon that is after church on that third Sunday of February. And so you'll get to ask her some questions about her trip. If you've got some, you might hear some more of what they did, and who they got to meet, and where they went, and all the tourist sites they got to see as well. Because if I remember right, you did some touring as well.
We did, and I'll have plenty of pictures to share.
Good, good. Well, I think that'll wrap us up for today. As always, you can join us for Sunday worship at 11 o'clock. If you want to hit Sunday school before that, that's 9:45. We've got various classes, and you can always like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Our handle is at FBCSAV, and you can read all about what's going on and coming up, and reminders of things that are going to be happening in the future. So I think we'll call it a day,
Yeah.
All right.
All right. We'll see y'all on Sunday.